you wake in a strange room. Your clothes are foreign, and the walls are covered in objects from a different world. You don't know where or when you are, or if you're still dreaming. There are footsteps in the hall. Jumping up, you race out of the room and into the streets. You have just entered the Twilight Histories.
You have entered the Twilight Histories, an audio adventure that casts you as the hero. This is the month of Broham the Barbarian, an epic multi-part show by Aaron Lund. Those of you who have been with us for a while might recognize Aaron's voice from a short episode he produced back in 2021 called Trophy Hunting, which had futuristic time-traveling androids hunting Hitler for sport. Aaron has been honing his craft in our Patreon area since then, producing lots of shows for our patrons, and Broham the Barbarian is his first big show that we're launching on the public feed. There will be 3 Broham the Barbarian shows coming out this month, and there's a massive 1-hour bonus track for patrons. If you want to binge listen to all of that right now, including the bonus, join us by supporting the show on Patreon. Broham the Barbarian is entirely unique to our regular catalog of shows, as it's inspired by classic video games. It has an 8-bit feel to it, and an edgy quirkiness that's become Aaron Lund's signature. Aaron is a great writer who sneaks in sparks of genius seemingly out of nowhere. Please enjoy Aaron Lund's first big show for the Twilight Histories. This is Broham the Barbarian, Part 1 by Aaron Lund.
Oh, hey! There you are! Come in, come in, come in! I will be your facilitator today. I know this is your first trip, and you're my first client, so hey, learning together. I gotta say, we don't have any shortage of corporate sponsorship deals coming to you here, but they're usually academics, historians, and such. Either that or military research of one kind or another. And that's a tale as old as time. But a gaming influencer, well, that's new as far as I know. Still, I get it. Tired of 3D VR? What's the logical next step in a search for the ultimate immersive first-person experience? Welcome to Twilight Histories. If you need content, look no further. Hey, do you mind if I ask how you got hooked up with Pollock Co? All expenses paid and a slew of state-of-the-art bio enhancements? Not gonna lie, I'd take that deal. Okay. Non-disclosures and everything, you can't really talk about it, I know. Still though, how do those enhancements feel? Hey, don't worry, we know all about them. Had to make sure they weren't going to interfere with our own proprietary cranial chip. So, enhanced speed, strength, and endurance? I think I even read you'll be able to hold your breath for over an hour. Would you say that's more like cheat codes or exploits? Cheat codes, I guess. Alright. I can see I'm making you uncomfortable. I'll give it a rest. My favorite part, though, isn't even a secret anyway. A Neuralink with an animal companion? That's some real Beastmaster stuff. Oh, that's some really vintage media. Never mind. Gotta say, though, it's a good thing those Pollock Co. enhancements are biological in nature. More traditional attempts at that kind of thing have played havoc with our tracker chip in the past.
Literally, am I right?
I know that part isn't a secret, at least. I saw the results of the naming contest you ran on your channel. Crowy McCrowface? Traditional. I like it. Anyway, let's get you set up. Your clothes are over there. Yeah, this is a pretty ancient time. Think Epic of Gilgamesh. The clothes are pretty simple. Yep, you pull that all the way up. Past your nipples. Yeah, like that. Yeah, you'll get used to it, don't worry. Okay, so the world we're sending you to has been pretty extensively traveled already by us. What I mean is, from their perspective, we've been mucking about with their timeline for millennia. I'm saying this isn't a pack-it-in, pack-it-out type of deal, so if you're worried about messing up their culture or whatever, don't bother. But you'll like it, I think. The world is full of prehistoric megafauna, people in various stages of civilization, and people in just, like, various stages, period. Lots of relict hominids. So you'll have plenty of enemy types, as it were. Moo, your corporate liaison, has been in world for weeks and weeks laying groundwork. We've timed your arrival with a lunar eclipse. Anyway, she's been in a city called Warka, ancient Mesopotamia, heralding your arrival. They're expecting you. Expecting a hero. They've set up a series of tasks that will serve both as a kind of tutorial for you to get used to your enhancements, and also so they can collect data. Labors of Hercules. Okay, I think we've got it. You just step right up over there. Very good. All right. You might feel weird when you wake up, but it'll pass. Don't worry. And hey, remember to have fun. It's a lovely morning, really. Still warming, but already not so muggy as it was in the lowlands. Not nearly so many bugs, either. That's one thing Politco doesn't seem to account for. Or maybe they do. You'll ask Moo later. Just now you need to focus. You peer up into the blue, looking for your companion. Perfect day for it, really. Your proximity sense tells you Buzzy is soaring at about 500 meters, easily within range for your fancy peepers. But still, it takes a moment to spot him. Or her? You still aren't sure how to sex a buzzard. Not like today's quarry. No, the terror bird is brown and bland and huge. She couldn't be more different than the males of her kind, who are much smaller and comically fancy. You'd hoped to catch a hawk or an eagle after Crowy McCrowface got. Crowy was eaten by a larger bird, so get one of those larger birds. It'd be cooler anyway. Seemed obvious. So you were bummed when all you could manage to snare was some kind of a dusty buzzard. But you may have lucked out. A bird his size makes for a more stable camera platform. And the street cred it seems to afford you with the superstitious people of Orca doesn't hurt either. You come to a complete stop, so as not to trip, and close your eyes so you can switch your visual feed over to BuzzCam. You're only dizzy for a second this time as your field of vision changes from sandstone hills, thorny bushes, and gnarly trees into a literal bird's eye view. Even though you've done this tons of times already, it still blows your mind. They'd told you about the tech and how it worked. Something to do with designer cordyceps fungi, brain interface networks, and who could even remember what else? All you care about is when you grab a bird, spike it with the cordy stuff, and stick the transmitter thingy to the base of its skull, you get to do this. Peer through the eyes of some kind of vulture as it swoops and soars however you want. Using clicks and glottal stops, you send Buzzy through some figure eights, resisting the urge to loop the loop. You're looking out for movement on the ground, hoping the terror bird is in motion. Probably won't see her from this high if she's standing still, and any rest she gets works against you. You fly an expanding spiral pattern, using yourself as a starting point, strange as that is. As you scan the area, hoping for a glimpse, you notice some bits of landscape that could be handy. Branching off from the dry stream bed you're standing in is an even drier, smaller one. Like a little creek or something with a narrow, rocky bed that threads between steep bluffs as it snakes its way further into the highlands. It seems to go on a long way. You just hope it's long enough. Find her yet? It's Moo's voice. She must have caught up to you while you were checking things out. She's speaking to you conversationally, right next to you. But since your ego is currently flying hundreds of meters in the air, the effect is jarring. It's like a voice, not quite in your head, but rather just outside. You resist the urge to open your eyes, having gotten somewhat used to the creepy feel of hearing someone you can't see. You circle back and get eyes on Moo and yourself, tiny dark figures on a dull field. When you can see her, her words take on a more familiar feel, something like coming through an earbud. It's comforting. Working on it, you say. But I found, like a gorge? If we can chase her into this thing, she'll only be able to run one way, all uphill. You mean if you chase her into it? You know I can't help you, she says. Yeah, yeah. I don't see how old King Bill Games would know about it unless you told him, but whatever. Should work for your endurance test, though, right? Indeed, she says. If this goes well, we can move on to the next phase. Which is? Walking and chewing gum at the same time. Which I see you have a head start on. Do you see us from up there? Yeah, you say. It's weird. It is, she says. And when you get a handle on it, we can grant you access to a second sense. I'd recommend olfactory in this case. Your buzzard sense of smell is likely to be useful. You grumble. Step-by-step stuff is taking forever. Can't we just go all in and get on with it? Full sensorium isn't ready for beta testing. Previous testers found it difficult to separate where their ego stopped and the animal's subjects began. But that sounds great. That's the kind of full-body, first-person experience I'm looking for. Why can't we do that? They still find it difficult to tell the difference. It's been months. Ah. Well, indeed, she says. What's the game plan? Right. So, I think last time the ground was too open. She could run in any direction and stop and rest, and I'd have to find her and send the bird after her. Then, of course, I couldn't harass her with the bird and run at the same time, so I could never really close the distance. Plus, I'd really like her to be too tired to kill me when I do catch up. And then, that hawk or whatever, Nate Crowey, so you have an idea. You know, it's too bad we can't set directives. Follow X, and if they stop, then dive bomb them till they start going again. I'll make a note. Great! So, yeah, I think this way, if I can get her into this thing with the steep sides, I might not always see her, but I'll know she can only go in one direction. Then hopefully I can spend less time looking for her and more time running her down. It is an improvement over your last attempt, she allows. Now you just need to locate the Ferocerhacoid. There is that, you say. Although, I'm sticking with Terror Bird. It sounds more terror-ish. It's several more minutes of throat-clearing silence before you spot her. There she is, you say, triumphant. Bad news is she's been sitting still this whole time, having a nice long rest. Good news is she's basically right where I want her. Just need to goad her into the gorge. Best get on with it, then, she says. This is likely to take all day. All right. You open your eyes to see Moo standing off to your right, peering upward, at Buzzy, presumably. She cuts an unremarkable figure, to your mind. Medium dark eyes, medium dark skin, medium dark hair, but for the streaks of silver shot through it. Even the loosely woven fabric of her simple skirt and shawl are medium dark, now that the sun had bleached away most of whatever color they used to be. She looks exactly like what she purports to be, a woman who's gone 50 years or so without a whole lot of shade. I've been meaning to ask, you say, drawing her attention away from the sky. You can basically look any way you want. Why, Granny, she says, finishing her thought for you. Well, yeah. Oh, nobody pays any attention to an old lady, she says. I see, you say. You don't see, not really. You're basically trying to get everyone to pay attention to you all the time. Maybe it's different for support staff. Oh, well. You don't have time to figure out the motives of side characters. You've got a bird to catch. Well, the terror bird ran into the gorge. That much is gone according to plan, at least. As for the rest of it, well, it seems to be going as planned. But whether that lands you a bird in the hand at the end of the day is too soon to tell. For now, you just keep running. One foot in front of the other, that's the way to do it. Keep those knees up. You learn to remind yourself to do that the third or fourth time you tripped over a rock. Holy jeez, it feels like you've been at this forever. You look up at the sun, trying to gauge how far it's moved since the last time you looked. You give up. You can't tell. And you don't know what that means in minutes anyway. You trip over a rock, curse as you tumble and roll back onto your feet, then come to a stop. It's as good a time as any to check in. It takes a long, urgent moment to orient yourself through Buzzy's eyes. This would be so much easier if Moo would just take over Buzzy completely, but she'll only Take the part of the buzzard to capture footage of your attempt, but not to aid you in that attempt. So she'll keep Buzzy on track and focused on the action, such as it is. But any poking and prodding is up to you. Infuriating. Arbitrary and infuriating. Whatever. Complaining about it is off-brand. Out loud, at least. You scope through the buzzard's eyes, not taking control, just trying to spot the Verosterhacoid, or whatever the hell Boo insists on calling it. So scientific, so technical, so obnoxious. Whatever you call it, you'd think the size of the thing would make it easy to spot, but no. Oh wait, there she is. It's around the bend, plodding along, but she's still there and still moving. Oh, thank Marduk, Utu, and Tiamat, too. You aren't sure if you can be bothered to try this a third time. You spot yourself standing further back around the bend. Doesn't look like you're too far away as the crow flies, or the buzzard in this case. You and the terror bird are just on opposite sides of a steep, rocky bluff. You think maybe you can climb over it. No, no telling how long that'd take. And if you did it fast, then what? You're trying to catch her, not fight her. No, your best bet is to just keep plugging along. You limber up your hips, crack your neck, and hop back to it, a little more determined. You are so bored. The sun has moved from one side of the sky to the other, and even you know what that means. You've been at it a long, long time. Back before the procedure, the mile you'd had to run in high school left you huffing and puffing. In the years since, you hadn't had to run further than from the curb to your ride share, and that, well, on a bad day. So, you know what to expect. You know how it feels. Exertion, then exhaustion. Well, you've got the exertion. But somehow the exhaustion never quite comes. Not physically. You keep going, feeling your body at work. You know what should follow is weariness, fatigue, and expect it to come with each next step. And it doesn't happen. What you're left with is exertion and anticipation, which is its own kind of exhausting. If only you could distract yourself, that'd be something. You'd never spend so much time at a single stretch just with yourself. The only things you can compare it to are sleeping and gaming. With the one, you're unconscious. And with the other, you're not really there. You're absorbed. You forget all about your worries. School, work, peer pressure, stress, crippling social anxiety. Till you put down the gaming rig. Now, until you catch this cursed bird, it's just you and... what is that? Is that... feelings? Ew. There's no screens, no music. You can't even let your mind wander. You'll trip again and give your teeth to a rock. Or you'll mess up your system and the bird will get away. No, you have to be here, now, alert, and paying attention. It's interminable, but also the worst. There's something, you don't know how to put it, threatening about it all. You feel so exposed, like someone's going to see you with all your discomforts, and that'll be it. What does that even mean? You trip over a rock and stumble forward, swinging your arms, but manage to right yourself before you biff it completely. To your surprise, this makes you laugh all the harder, nearly bringing you to a stop before you get it under control. Good lord, you say to yourself. Could it be nuts after another hour of this? Okay, when was your last check-in with Buzzy? Hard to say. Well, might as well do it now, for a break in the monotony, if nothing else. You come to a stop and close your eyes. Luckily, you orient your ego quickly within the bird this time. To your surprise and delight, the terror bird is just up ahead out of sight, beyond a rise and behind a grouping of large boulders. There must be some rapids or something when the water flows through here, but right now it's like a series of shallow, rocky steps. This is it. You either put an end to it now or run out of daylight. You fly Buzzy out past the terror bird and circle back to face her, intending to fly the buzzard directly into the big bird's face and, you don't know, hope for the best. As you turn Buzzy to face the terror bird, however, you find you've also turned to face yourself as well. On an impulse, you raise your hand to see yourself from a buzzard's eyes waving in the distance. It never even occurred to you to think that surreality had an actual feel to it, but here you are. You take a cautious step forward, the sensation in your body feeling indefinably out of sync with your far-off visual. A strange but familiar irreverence creeps over you, a kind of rebellion against the game as it's been laid out. Suddenly, you've got a new goal, self-imposed, and with no real reward beyond simply finding out if you can do it. Now catching the bird is less important than trying to catch it with your eyes closed. You circle Buzzy back around and line him up facing the terror bird and yourself beyond. The buzzard seems to be cruising straight and steady, so off you go. You see yourself take a few tiny, distant steps, but almost immediately the buzz cam veers off course. First one way and then the other. Seems Buzzy won't hold himself as steady as you need without you constantly managing him. I can see what you're trying to do, you hear from seemingly just behind you. I'll hold it steady, you go ahead. Thanks, you say with relief, and focus fully on your far-off miniature self. You take off running, reminding yourself to lift your knees. Man, you're really going. You thought you'd start out slowly, but it's kind of hard to regulate speed like this. Never mind. You check the terror bird. She's a beeline straight ahead of you, still behind a boulder. She hasn't seen you yet. So far, so good. You focus on the feel of the ground under your feet as you run. Hard pan, bit of loose dust on the surface. You don't feel any smaller pebbles or rocks that you might turn an ankle on. Nothing to worry about. Through Buzzy's eyes, you see up ahead of you some kind of half-dead, janky tree. Don't want to run into that. All right. You just need to veer a little bit to your left. Oh, crap. No, your other left. You zig, trying to correct yourself, but overcorrect. Zag the other way, overcorrect again, and smack right into the tree. Your distant self caroms off the tree, legs tangling together, spins at least a double axle, and lands face down on the hard pan. The urge to open your eyes is nearly overwhelming, but you manage to keep them sealed tight. You aren't ready to abandon your derangement just yet. Instead, you bounce to your feet, nearly toppling over again, and lift a hand to your face to feel for any damage. Oh, yep, that's a broken nose. And oh, wow, that's a lot of blood. A lot of blood. You spit some out and can breathe a little better, through your mouth anyway. No pain, though. You've got Moo's bio-enhancements to thank for that. Okay, worry about your face later. You've got to get back on course. You refocus your attention through BuzzCam. Okay, your back is turned, but that's easily fixed. Just a careful pivot, a little to your left. Still not the left you wanted, but that's okay. And yes, there you go. Oh, wow, you're a mess. You opted against wearing that skirt thing. You can't remember what they call it. The one you have to pull practically up into your armpits. Glad of that. You'd have never gotten the blood out. Still, standing there in your breech clout thingy, from this height, you look like a big, bloody toddler. Before you can stifle it, you bust out a laugh. Ha! And further up the gorge, the terror bird reacts. Oh, no. You hope she doesn't bolt again. You really don't want to chase. Oh, wait. Nope. She's sprinting toward you. Well, that's a wrinkle. Returning your ego from Buzzy to yourself, you can hear the thump, thump, thump of the terror bird's steps approaching fast. So much for the whole keeping your eyes closed thing. You open your eyes to see a dark blur of motion coming right at you. You juke to the left, the correct left this time, just in time to avoid the kick. The terror bird's foot rushes past you, talons like sickles, and you fall backwards into the dust. She doesn't let up, though. You scramble to your feet, just in time, as the other foot stomps down into the dirt where you'd just been. She stares at you, but only for a second, before she charges in, snapping at you with her huge, hooked beak. Instinctively, you put your hands out to ward her off, only to draw them back again before you lose some fingers. She's fast! It's all you can do to stay out of reach, moving backwards step by step. You don't dare risk a look behind you, knowing sooner or later she'll have an opening. You have to do something, and soon, but what? Before you can decide on anything, there's a whoosh out of the corner of your eye, and something smacks into the side of the terror bird's head with a heavy thunk and a sickly crack. The impact knocks the terror bird for a loop. She takes a few woozy steps and plops down on the ground, sending up a cloud of dust. At your feet, you see the broken remains of Buzzy McBuzzard Face. Aww. He was a good buzzard. You offer him what you imagine to be a meaningful salute to his sacrifice. You are surprised, though. Mu didn't seem like she was going to come around on the whole aiding and abetting thing. Ah, well. You'll thank her when she catches up. In the meantime, we got to get this thing tied up. You manage this with sweaty, braided leather cord you've had wrapped around your waist since this morning. You take care not to get yourself stuck with a talon as you tie together her feet and legs. The other end takes no less care, and you marvel at her hawk-like beak, which you realize, now that you see it up close, could easily have taken your arm off at the shoulder. She's glorious. The more you think about it, the more you resent the idea of spending all day running after this absolute unit of a bird specimen, only to hand her over to that dumpy, lazy King Bill Games. What's he going to do with her anyway? Nothing worth the effort you put into catching her, that's for sure. You're still stewing over it when Mu catches up a few hours later. Well, well, you've done it. My confidence in this plan was at roughly 40%. You've exceeded my expectations, she says. Yeah, well, the enhancements are what really made it possible, you say, brushing off your backside as you stand up. The enhancements are what counted for 35 of that 40%. And according to these readouts, the system performed to within expected parameters, she says, eyes focused on the middle distance, checking some augmented reality feed, you figure. Right, you say, rolling your eyes. Thanks for the assist, anyway. It's no more than we agreed to, she says. No, I mean, thanks for the assist, you say, pointing over to Buzzy's corpse. I don't know what you're talking about, she says with an odd look. Of course, you say, clearing your throat. I did it all myself. Indeed, she says, still making that odd expression. What is that you're covered in? Blood? No, this, she says, reaching out to touch the side of your head and your shoulder where you ran into the tree. It comes away coated in a black substance, thick and powdery. Is this soot? I don't know. Maybe the tree I hit was struck by lightning or something, you say. It did look pretty beat up. Yes, perhaps, she says, wiping her blackened fingertips on her shawl. Anyway, have you named her yet? Terry McTerrorbird Face, if the pattern holds. That'll make my subscribers happy, you say, not very enthused about the idea. I don't know. Joke's kind of getting old. Guess I'll think about it. Very well, she says. What now? You plan on carrying this thing back over your shoulders? No. I've been thinking about it, and I've got a much better idea, you say. How much of that cordy stuff do you have left? It's a lovely evening, really. Soft breezes waft in through the river gates, cooling the skin, even as the sandy bricks of the city of Warka radiate what's left of the day's high heat. A little buggy still, but a perfect night for it, really. Not that you're going to enjoy yourself. It had started out great, just as you'd imagined. Throngs of Warkans rush to greet you, minds blown and mouths agape as you stride into the city. Mounted on the terror bird, you tower over them, drinking in the heady brew of admiration and fear they serve to you with their eyes. You are a god. A small child, braver than the rest, scrambles to the front of the crowd for a closer look. You pluck a single banded feather from the crest of your mount and offer it to the child, a reward for their valor. The child grasps the feather and clutches it close to their bosom, a precious treasure. Before holding it aloft, victorious, the crowd erupts with cries of joy and ecstasy. You are a loving god. Or were. That all lasted just as long as it took you to arrive at your audience with the king, Bill Games. That toad, that stupid, whatever. You let out an aggravated sigh. From your perch up on the dais, you search past the fire being kindled in the blackened pit at your feet and look over some of your previous labors. And labor is about right. There's that section of outer wall you had to erect in a week. You got it done, but only because Mu's enhancements allowed you to work around the clock without sleep. Monotonous work. Once you got the rhythm down, you'd basically gone on autopilot. There's the garden plaza you'd built. Once you'd leveled the public latrine that used to be there. Unpleasant work. And you're still iffy about strolling the garden paths. Plants are doing well, though. all of your supposed labors had been like that. Stacking, hauling, digging, dragging, scut work. Mood said to start slow, so you'd started slow. She said to be patient, so you ground your teeth, done as asked, and waited for something good. Then Bill Games said to catch that bird, even offered a boon if you could pull it off. Single-handed, of course. And that's the trick, isn't it? What a pedantic, hair-splitting piece of... With an effort, you calmed yourself down. Got to stay on brand. You're supposed to be always cool and you're getting worked up. But how can you not? If only you hadn't mentioned Buzzy. Somehow the buzzard had counted as outside help. It wasn't even the final kamikaze dive bombing that had knocked the terror bird down for the count either. That you could almost understand. The moment you mentioned Buzzy's part in herding the huge bird into the gorge, suddenly none of it counted. Boone refused. Have to do the whole thing over. Not only that, but now Terry McTerrorbird face has to die. Not only die, but be given bodily, alive and kicking, into the flames. You look down into the sacrificial pit below the dais. The blaze really roaring now. I can't believe they're going to toss this wonderful animal in there after all of your hard work. But if there's no sacrifice, the sky is going to open up and the world is going to crumble in on itself or some such nonsense. You shake your head in disgust. You don't know who you're madder at, Bill Games or Moo. You look over to your left at Moo, standing there, not looking like she's giving a crap about anything. Next to her is the plinth on which sits the terror bird, tightly bound and waiting to be burned alive. This is ridiculous. Infuriating and ridiculous. As the last of the day's light bleeds out of the sky, drums begin to beat out an ominous tattoo. Well, this is it. King Bill Games makes a grand entrance amidst a gaggle of dignitaries and hangers-on, none of whose names you ever bother to learn. And now you'll refuse to out of sheer unadulterated resentfulness. But, I feel so petty, so impotent, like rage quitting. What you need is to give some grief. Find something to do with all this spite. The king finally saunters up onto the dais, joining you, Moo, and Terry McTerrorbird face, who've been waiting on his pleasure for a good half hour. He allows the crowd to go nuts for a little bit with cheers and dancing to the beating drums. Finally, he raises his hands, the drums go silent, and the crowd follows suit. There's a drawn-out, expectant pause as the gathered throng waits for the king to address them. Finally, Bill Games speaks. "My people," he begins. And that's all he gets out because you take a quick step to the side and push him screaming into the fire pit. After a moment of stunned silence, the denizens of Warka erupt in a confusion of harried activity, running this way and that. It's like they don't know whether to bum-rush the dais or grovel at your feet. While they're deciding, you take the opportunity to place a calming hand on the terror bird as you begin to undo her fetters. Moo joins you and begins to help. "So you're not upset?" you ask her. She shrugs. "I had no particular liking for Bill Games," she says. "And there are any number of ways to test the bio-enhancements." You grunt noncommittally. Yeah, well. "In the meantime, what do you think of spite?" "I'm sorry?" "For the bird," you say. "I'm done with the McFace joke. Her name is Spite."
That was Broham the Barbarian, Part 1, by Aaron Lund. If you're enjoying this story so far, sign up to be a patron of the Twilight Histories, and you can hear all the other parts right away. Plus, you'll get the massive one-hour bonus track only available to patrons. Go to patreon.com and run a search for the Twilight Histories, or go to the website at twilighthistories.com and follow the link. I'm Jordan Harbour. Thanks for listening to the Twilight Histories. Until next time, take care.